Welcome to the Meat and Poultry Magazine podcast. I'm Ryan McCarthy, the associate web editor for meatpoultry.com. Packaging is something that we cover extensively in our magazine, but not always something that we have time to check out on our web coverage. So when we had a chance to look at some smart packaging systems, including the one from out of Chicago called Label Insight, we thought it would be a good idea to take a look into the future of packaging. In this latest interview, I talked to Dagan Xavier, the co-founder and director of customer insights at Label Insight, to discuss their system of tracking packages and showing more transparency with data. Although Xavier covers all food groups, he talked to us about how they look at meat and some other trends with meat data over the last few years. Take a listen.
I'm sure you can get a ton of data points for consumer-based product data. What data points did you want to fit in at first, the first things that you wanted to look at more than anything?
Well, in the beginning, it was beyond, you know, like think back to this time was like in the early 2000s. So everything that was out there was, you know, Weight Watchers, Calorie King, everything was based around that nutrition facts panel, right? The nutrients, you know, how many calories it has, how much fat it has. But what we really wanted to find out, or what I wanted to find out for my dad was, you know, what are these ingredients and how are these ingredients adding to the composition of the products, right? So which ingredients are trans fat? Because you can label a product as trans fat free as long as it contains less than 0.5 grams of trans fat per serving. That doesn't mean it doesn't contain trans fat, right? Let's look at ingredients like partially hydrogenated vegetable oils, you know, shortening, things like that. So for me, it was around that analysis. We had to get deeper. We actually had to find out the DNA of the products, right? So we started that analysis on the ingredients. And that involved separating each ingredient out individually. So we had to, and these days it was crazy. We didn't use technology that well. So we had people who were actually my friends essentially reading that ingredient declaration and entering each individual ingredient separately. And through that, we were able to build a dictionary of ingredients where we could look at an ingredient based on its own merit, not look at an ingredient based on its products, right? So yeah. When we saw citric acid or we saw sodium benzoate, we researched that individual ingredient and found out, you know, what is sodium benzoate? What is it a preservative? Is it an artificial color? Is it an emulsifier, a stabilizer, right? But also, what allergen properties does it have? So we're looking at additive properties, allergen properties, whether it's vegan or vegetarian. And it's that analysis that was done on one single ingredient, which then allows us, no matter what the manufacturer says, we understand pretty much the DNA of the product, you could say, so that we could find all the products that contain sodium benzoate, or even better, all the products that contain artificial preservatives, or all the products that contain, you know, rice or wheat or fish or soybean, if you're, you know, sensitive to any of those allergies as well.
Right.
So that's primarily where we focused our analysis on.
Sounds good. And I know you covered a variety of different areas with that stuff, but for us, I'm really curious of how you've been able to find some of the data with your smart label technology, particularly with meat, and we looked at bacon was one of the main things is how Kyle got us a hold of you. So how did you guys break down meat within your data?
So meat's always a tricky one. Whenever you start getting to the kind of perimeter aisle goods, it's always a bit trickier. And I say trickier meaning because the data is not as abundant, right? Whereas you compare a packaged bacon product to a box of cereal, there's a lot more points of data on a box of cereal than there is on a package of bacon. But that's what we're actually seeing starting to change, right? So when it comes to meat products, we're obviously, you're looking at your fresh produce, often captured behind the deli, and then your frozen and packaged items. And we kind of categorize those differently in our database. But in all times, we're looking at all data points on the package. And these days, you're seeing many more marketing claims on the packaged goods. So whether it's about being, you know, reduced sodium or antibiotic free, free range, it's primarily around how that animal has been raised, right? I think that's kind of a big deal now when it comes to meat, right? Yeah. And poultry.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I was curious, you know, for somebody that's studied a lot of this data and with food in general, why do you think the consumer themselves has drawn so much to having more of these data points and having more of these things happen over the last 10 years as you've seen your business evolve?
So the question of why is an interesting one. There's just a demand for more information. You know, with the internet, we're given so much more access to information that it's created a hunger, right? And I think people are essentially asking questions, more questions, and rightly so. You know, I think it's about, you know, well, I guess brands that are actually answering these questions are the ones that I feel are going to be much more successful. You know, I think one of the transparency studies that we've just performed said that 96% of consumers indicate transparency in meat is important to them, right? 75% that say that it's very important. So this is a shift, right, where people want to know what's going on with our food supply, and we want to make sure that we're being responsible as consumers. So we're asking the questions of our suppliers so that we can make better choices, I think. That's me putting my consumer hat on, by the way.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure. I'm always curious when you look at the data over the last few years, and what's been one of the major meat groups that you guys have seen a huge demand for with your data? Compare like pork, bacon, or, you know, beef, anything in particular that you guys have really seen as something that's standing out to you guys?
That's an interesting question. I think the things that come to mind, and I haven't got the exact data or figures to back this up, but the things that come to mind are chicken or poultry based on its leanness, but also probably because of, you know, it's a little easier to communicate to the consumer around how chickens and poultry are actually raised. Right, they're smaller animals, et cetera. You can talk about cage free range, et cetera. I think that works quite well there. But what we are noticing in the bacon world is that bacon is actually used outside of traditional bacon, right? And that's probably one of the interesting here is the fact that I think it's something, you know, 6% of bacon products that we have in our database are actually used in pet products, right? And so we're seeing a bigger rise of that meat product in the pet industry as a flavor or an ingredient.
Sure.
So I think that's always interesting. But with bacon itself, I think that's something that's really undergoing a bit of a transformation. And you're starting to see things, especially around sodium, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, fat is still a big player in the whole meat arena, but I think that's a kind of given. Everyone understands that there's a level of fat that comes with your meat produce, but the sodium aspect is something that's starting to get a lot more airtime, especially with regards to the FDA kind of sodium reduction guidelines, right? And what we're seeing in the bacon aisle is it's traditionally a very high sodium, you know, product. So it's kind of interesting to see what happens in that category in the next couple of years, I think.
Right. And what can your product do with Label Insights to, you know, not only give consumers more information, but work with the companies to, you know, get those reductions down in sodium and keep it lower cholesterol and making sure that people are aware of what kind of bacon they're going to buy?
No. I think it's like most things. Change doesn't happen unless you're having a conversation, right? What we're primarily interested in is being the facilitator of that conversation, or at least being in the middle of those conversations where public and private are coming together, which is what we're seeing with these things like, you know, the new FDA label that's coming out with added sugars or with the sodium reduction guidelines, right? It's public-private coming together. And I think in order for that conversation to be fruitful, we need to be having that conversation with real data, data that's accurate, data that's current, that's a real snapshot of what America is consuming right now, right? And I think that's really where we see ourselves. We want to be at the center of that conversation. So when we're, you know, out talking with universities or research groups, or we're working with the FDA on the sodium reduction goals, how do we facilitate a conversation between those two groups of people? And I think the answer is really, it's got to come around our platform, the Label Insight platform, right? Where you can get those two groups talking the same language on the same sets of data. And that's when I believe we're going to start to see change. And I think, you know, this is just a small prediction, but, you know, I'm forever the optimist as well. But we've set some pretty lofty goals as a country with regards to the sodium reduction in order to be more in line with other countries. But I actually think what we're going to see in the next couple of years is an unprecedented level of transparency where we meet those goals much sooner than we actually think, right? And that's because we are starting these conversations as an industry, and we're starting to get transparency with the data. And it's just, you know, obviously you can tell I get quite excited about this.
Definitely,
stuff,
but yeah.
One of the reasons why we started this company in the first place, right? Let's facilitate change. Let's accelerate it. But we've got to all be looking at the same data.
Thanks again to Dagan Xavier for joining us on the podcast. Make sure to check out the rest of our stories at meatpoultry.com and the rest of the news in the industry. Also follow us on social media as well, on Facebook, Twitter, and now Instagram, all by searching at meatpoultry. All right, that's it for this time, folks. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.